Thank you, Bob, for leading us in those songs. And if you'll get your Bibles, let's go back to Judges chapter 16, to the passage that was read for us just moments ago. There's not a one of us here who does not have areas in which we struggle with sin. Satan has a way of finding out those areas, and he goes for our weakness again and again. And most of us have areas in which we struggle throughout our lives in certain places of vulnerability. It's a wise Christian who's able to discover that area of weakness and safeguard himself or herself. Build fences. Avoid the things that lead to the temptation in that area of sin. With Judas, he had greed. And Satan knew that. And he regularly pilfered from the money bag of which he was the treasurer. And eventually that temptation came. For 30 pieces of silver, he sold his soul. Jacob had a propensity to prevaricate. That means he was a liar. And Jacob was in all kinds of problems because of lies that he told. Samson's Achilles heel was his unbridled sexual lust. You read his story and you'll see that he again and again fell prey to Satan in this area. For years, Satan toyed with him and softened him up and got him ready for that fatal blow. Samson's problem was that he didn't understand the truth that would later be recorded in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived, Paul wrote. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. That's just a fundamental truth. You can't change it. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Samson, because of his failure to deal with this tendency towards sexual sin, had a time bomb ticking inside of himself. And the detonator that Satan eventually used was a bombshell by the name of Delilah. Here in Judges chapter 16, we read about what happened here at this stage in his life. I want to go back and read again the passage that we read earlier. Let's start in verse 4 and read all the way down through that section. Sometime later, he, that is Samson, fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me your secret, the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. And with men hidden in the room, she called out to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called out to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head and wove them into the fabric and tightened it with a pin. Again she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. And with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. Pretty sad relationship, isn't it? The kind of dysfunctional relationship that they shared together. And finally, in the end, knowing what she had done each time he had revealed what she thought was the truth, he goes ahead and he tells her his secret. Verse 17, he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands, and having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistine seized him and gouged out his eyes and took him down to Gaza. And binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, in this section, if we back up and read earlier, he was with this woman Delilah, but in the previous section he had gone to visit a prostitute. And yet this man would be used of God to be the leader of the people. And yet this man was so full of weakness. And as we see in this particular incident, God did finally leave him, desert him. How could anyone have been so blind? How could anyone have been so stupid? 3 times he tells her what she believed was the secret of his strength, and 3 times she betrayed him. You know, the old Gomer Pyle school of philosophy says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And he'd been fooled this way by her repeatedly. But it happened as a progression. As a downward spiral of sin in the life of Samson. Over in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, there we read about that downward spiral of sin. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, Paul writes, Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. He goes on to describe the degradation there. And in verse 28, he says, Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Sin can become so deeply entrenched in our lives that we will end up doing things that in our saner moments we would never have ever imagined we were capable of doing. You know and I know people who have sunk to depth so low because sin has become so deeply ingrained in their life that they found themselves in a place that they could never in their wildest imagination have thought themselves capable of. Satan deceives us. He whispers to us the lie, you'll never get caught. And how many people have believed that lie? And he says to us, Go ahead. No one will get hurt. People always get hurt because of sin. It's a lie. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27, the wise man writes, Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Samson, as you look at his story from beginning to end, never completely was able to get himself back in line in this area of lust. And you can't be careful enough to avoid the consequences of sin. I don't care how well you cover your trail. I don't care how careful you are. You cannot cover up the consequences of sin. It's only a matter of time. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, Paul wrote to that young man about that. He said, "The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment before them. The sins of others trail along behind them." They'll eventually come out, but some people are better at hiding their trails than others. The words of Proverbs 7:22 could have been addressed directly to Samson. There in that chapter, the wise man talks about a young man who was seduced by a prostitute, and this is what he says: "All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, little knowing it will cost him his life." Now it's true that God has a plan for every one of us, but it's also true that Satan has a plan for every one of us. Satan begins by getting us to believe a lie. That's why Paul wrote what he did in Galatians 6, the passage we began with. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Not only was Samson deceived, he treated with disdain the things that were holy in his life. He was a child born to a woman who couldn't have children, and they dedicated this child to God, and he was raised as a Nazarite with a Nazarite vow. And that vow included, among other things, a pledge never to allow a razor to touch his head. John the Baptist would be another well-known Nazarite. That was a sacred vow that had been made before God, and Samson had taken on this responsibility before God. And there are some things that you do not treat lightly. I don't treat lightly the cross of Jesus Christ. And I don't treat lightly my Father in heaven and His sacred name. And I don't treat lightly sin and joke about sin, that which separates us from God. There are things in this life that we don't make light of and that we don't treat lightly. And yet, Samson placed his relationship with God on the line by revealing the secret of his vow to a woman that he knew would take that knowledge and misuse it. And he got closer each time to crossing that line. He had those rawhide strips that bound him, and then new rope, and then his hair woven into a weaving loom. And finally, he told her the truth, and she did the same thing again that she had done the three times previous, and cut his hair. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7:6, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls before swine." He should have known better than to take that guarded, valuable truth of his vow with God and place that at her disposal. When we become Christians, we become the Lord's exclusive property. Our minds and our bodies belong to Him. And to allow Satan to have his way with either our mind or with our bodies is to treat that which is holy with disdain. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6:19, and he said, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, you are not your own," he says. "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Samson treated lightly a thing which was sacred and holy. And in doing so, he offered mockery to the God who had chosen him. He forgot one thing, though. God will not be mocked. Galatians 6:7, that same passage we began with. Do not be deceived, Paul says. God cannot be mocked. And finally, there will be an accounting. For Samson, this was the culmination of a life filled with all kinds of sinful behavior. Finally, there will be an accounting. The story ends with Samson's eyes being gouged out. He became a slave. He did the work of an ox there at the grinding wheel. He was exposed to public ridicule. Now, he would finish with one mighty act of deliverance as he pushed the pillars apart on that temple, that Philistine temple. But he was a tragic character, a sad leader, a fallen leader among God's people. And I know that for Samson to have that sin in his life and not have dealt with it, he's not unique. That issue is with us today. And there may be some that are here this evening that are harboring some secret sin in their life. Some have not dealt with it. Maybe even your own family members are not aware of it. God may be the only one who really knows. But I want to ask you a question, if that's the case. Do you think that God will wait until judgment and then and only then punish you for that secret sin in your life? Is that the way God deals with his children? Or does God try to do something in our lives before we reach judgment? I know how I deal with my children. When they were young, if I'd caught them playing with matches, I wouldn't just wait and let them reap the consequences of that. I intervened and I caused some short-term pain to avoid long-term later pain. And I believe God deals with us in the very same way. For any who harbor secret or unresolved sin, if you're his child, I think you need to expect that God will do his best to expose that sin and force you to come to grips with that sin. I've seen people throughout my ministry years that have suddenly been exposed in some area of their life. And they've wondered, why would God do this? He does it because he loves you. And if you don't believe it, listen again. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The things we're involved in will generally come out sooner or later. But let me close with this statement. There is good news. Because sin that is confessed, and we're all sinners. We may have sins, hidden sins, or we may have confessed sins. But we all have sins. The good news is that confessed sin and repented of sin is the sin that is forgiven. God is so clear in his word about how he deals with sin that is openly dealt with. He blots it out. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. It is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus himself pays the price in full. How many ways can you say it? God is telling us, if you will deal responsibly, yes, you may struggle with those sins for the rest of your life, but to continue in sin and to do it secretly can only invite God's hand in exposing that sin. How much better to confess our sins to God, to get the help we need, and to struggle forward being cleansed and washed by his blood, knowing that on that last day when we stand before the judgment seat and the books are open, I stand there knowing better than anyone my own sinfulness, but knowing that when God opens that book, because I have dealt with those sins, confessionally and through repentance, that when he looks down, he'll say, the book is blank. I have no record of your sin. Jesus has paid the price in full. That's what we all want to hear. What a tragedy for anyone to end their days the way that Samson ended his. Tonight, if we can help you with that, this pattern that we see of the judges is a pattern that continues in some people's lives, and we don't want to see that happen. Tonight, if we can pray for you, if we can help you, if you need to be baptized, we'll assist you. If you need to come right now, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.